Welcome to Gila Members Community Radio. Next up, we'll be back to the garden, conversations with Jean Eisenhower and her guests on all things green and growing in and around your house. This is GMCR, a voice and a choice for Southwest New Mexico.
Comes the springtime, plant your seeds. See what you can do to grow your needs. Tend your gardens, touch the earth. Thank the stars above for all your worth. Seasons of plenty, seasons of change, also abundantly here.
Hello and welcome to Back to the Garden. I'm your host, Jean Eisenhower, and this is a show for gardeners, beginning gardeners, and all those who think it might be a good idea to have a garden. Today we'll be talking with Carolyn Smith, who's going to tell us all about greenhouse gardening in Silver City. Carolyn's background is very diverse. She was a homesteader in Scotland for 2 years and homesteaded in Vermont for 10 years and worked as a landscape gardener for 3 years in Mill Valley, California, another very dry region. She's taking a sabbatical now from her work at the Silver City Food Co-op as outreach coordinator and is now devoting more of her time to expanding her gardening activities, particularly in her cooperative greenhouse. Welcome to the show, Carolyn.
Thank you, Jean. I'm happy to be here.
Yeah. First, I always like to ask, why should people garden?
Oh, it's just a really good way to ground oneself, literally and figuratively. It's an activity that takes you outside of your own head, and you start just looking around, and you start seeing things that if you weren't doing an activity that, you know, drew you out into that type of environment, you just might not notice the different bugs. You might listen to the birds. You're outdoors, but you're outdoors for a concentrated period of time. So it gives you the time to really experience just the world around you.
Thank you. I love that too. Tell us about the greenhouse that you grow in.
Well, about 4 years ago, William Joseph, who lives in the Boston Hill area, invited me to join a greenhouse cooperative. When he bought his property, he inherited a 30 by 60 foot greenhouse. It didn't have a southern wall at the time, but the rest of the building was up, and it had been used previously, not by the owners he bought the building from, but by someone before him as a greenhouse. And then it had to kind of deteriorate a little bit, no southern wall. So he bought the property and with a bunch of people, fixed the wall and started a greenhouse. And then he decided to turn it into a cooperative where there would just be 7 memberships. And I was one of the lucky people who he invited to join. So that's how I got involved.
Well, what a wonderful opportunity for you and also for William to have that opportunity to own a building like that. What sorts of plants do you grow in your greenhouse?
Well, we mostly just grow greens and herbs, things that can handle a little bit of the colder temperatures, because we're growing in a greenhouse that is, for all intents and purposes, unheated. And we plant in September, and then we are growing our greens all the way through the winter and into May when it starts to get too hot. So the greens can actually, the temperature in the greenhouse, I think it's gotten down, the coldest it's gotten is like 26 degrees. Mm-hmm. But all of the greens that we grow, they're fine with that type of temperature. Mm-hmm. Especially once they're mature, they can handle those cold temperatures. And so we don't need to heat the greenhouse. And so we don't really want to grow crops that need a hotter temperature, like tomatoes or peppers. Most people think of that's the type of plants you plant in a greenhouse. Mm-hmm. But for those type of plants, you would just really need to crank up the heat. They need a lot of heat, and we just don't want to use those type of resources.
Right. And so how is growing in your greenhouse different from growing in my garden?
Well, it's in this greenhouse cooperative, one of the ways it's different is that you only have to go one day a week. You know, you have to put compost in your bed, you have to amend the soil, and then you plant your seeds, and you have your day after that where you come and you water everybody's beds, and you check for bugs or diseases and make sure that everything is fine. You take the high and low temperature. We have a little log that we sign in. And we, you know, if there's any conditions that we notice that we need to keep an eye on, there's a place in the logbook to keep notes so that the next person who comes in can read the logbook and like pay attention. So mm-hmm. we have a communication logbook. And then we say whether we've watered or not. And at the beginning of the season with the new seedlings, we need to water every day. Plus, the temperatures are pretty hot still mm-hmm. in September and October.
Right.
But then as the season goes on and the temperatures get cooler and the plants are more mature and they're kind of mulching the soil themselves just with their own growth, you might not have to water, but every other day or sometimes every 2 days. So in our log, we'll say whether we watered or not, so people will know how long it's been since we watered. And we also have these gauges that you stick in the soil mm-hmm. to see how much, what the water content is, mm-hmm. Whether you need to water, if it's dry, medium, dry, wet, or you could just stick your finger in, whatever mm-hmm. people feel more comfortable with. But, different parts of the greenhouse dry out faster than the others. The more southern beds do. So it's a little bit different. So you really have to check each of the beds, see where they're at. In some beds you might want to water, and some beds you don't. So mm-hmm. each day is your day, you're responsible for taking care of all the plants and making sure that everyone's plants are doing well.
Right. Those water meters are really nice.
They are. They're yeah. great. It yeah. really, it does, it uh-huh. kind of takes the,
the worry out
more,
of it.
More objective.
Right. And I've noticed with using my water meter that 6 inches down, it's mm-hmm. a lot moister than it is just a fingertip deep. Yeah. So how many hours do you spend when you work your day?
It can be up to 2 hours if you have to water the whole greenhouse, or sometimes we really haven't had any major problems in the greenhouse, except for we've had a couple of years we've had aphids that were pretty bad, so we got safer soap, and mm-hmm. and that takes a while, because then you have to go and you have to the aphids like to go underneath the leaves, so you have to, if you can imagine a whole greenhouse of greens mm-hmm. lots of leaves, you have to really check under the leaves and spray, and so that's the most time consuming aspect
tedious.
Of it.
Mm-hmm.
But we came up with a good solution. We used this yellow sticky tape mm-hmm. and the aphid flies. They are attracted to the yellow color, so they go to the yellow color, they stick, and then they're not able to lay the aphids that are what are doing the damage to the plants. And we noticed with just doing that, it was a dramatic decrease in the number of aphids. And really, there's only certain times when there's the aphids even are a problem.
Mm-hmm.
And it's usually, especially towards springtime when it starts warming up and the plants are starting to get a little bit stressed, mm-hmm. that's when we have it. But I would say that's really not that much time is spent on that. So don't yeah. let this be scaring you off.
Right, right.
Mostly you're just going in and watering mm-hmm. or not watering
right.
and just, checking and writing out your temperatures and doing your harvesting for
right.
your own personal use. And you can go in any time to harvest, even if it's not your day.
Mm-hmm.
It's just the one day that you're responsible for. And the other thing you do on your day is you open the greenhouse.
Mm-hmm.
So depending on what the temperature is, you go in, check the temperature. We might want to open everything up if the temperature's hot. So mm-hmm. we have windows on the south side that will open up. We have windows on the north side that we can open up. And we have a door on the east side. And we actually block off all the windows on the west side for the entire time, because early on, we just don't need that heat, and then we don't want to be losing the heat in the wintertime. So we've found that we just don't need that extra sunlight. So we really just have windows on the south, and of course the roof is mm-hmm. kind of the corrugated clear panels.
Mm-hmm.
So that's where we're getting our sun. It's really from the south and the roof, and not really any from the east or the west.
And how big is this greenhouse?
It's 30 by 60 feet.
30 by 60, yeah, you said that earlier. And so 2 hours is not that much time.
It's really not. It's easy gardening. It's a great way to have fresh greens all winter long, as much as you want. Each of the memberships basically gets a bed that's 3 feet by 16 feet.
Mm-hmm. And so you said that, so you just pick out of your own bed.
You pick out of your own bed. And sometimes people will leave notes saying, I have so much of this or that. Help yourself.
Uh-huh.
Because I can't keep up with it. So then you can help yourself to that. And we also do have a bed that goes all along the front of the greenhouse that is a market bed. And we grow greens for one of our local food stores.
Uh-huh.
And we make some money for basically upkeep of the greenhouse as expenses rise, if we needed to take, change out roof panels, because mm-hmm. the sun eventually is going to just, you know, have its way with the roof panels. We might have to put new ones on.
Right,
there's a fund
mm-hmm.
that we, so this, the market bed is used for that. And also each person who is a member of the Greenhouse Cooperative pays $25 at the beginning of the year.
Mm-hmm.
And that also helps to cover some of the expenses.
All right.
So
that's not bad for a year's worth of greens and herbs. It's wonderful. So those greens are probably kale and collards and
spinach, lettuce.
All your lettuce.
Mm-hmm.
That's
some
wonderful.
People have grown snap peas,
mm-hmm.
Bok choy, mustard greens. I've grown marjoram. You can grow basil in there until it gets too cold.
Mm.
So, you know, then, okay, that's it for the basil. People grow other herbs like thyme,
mm-hmm.
Parsley, cilantro. Cilantro actually likes cooler weather, so it does really well in the greenhouse. So people grow cilantro during the wintertime. People grow beets and carrots. I tend to just mostly myself grow herbs and greens because you get the most food for your space.
Uh-huh.
And you're harvesting the whole time off of those crops, whereas the beets and the carrots,
right,
they're
you
like, you know, you plant them and then you just have to wait until they're ready at the end of the season. And meanwhile, they're just taking up space. And I love those crops. And, mm-hmm. and I think they have a really great place out in a bigger garden as one of your crops when, you know, you're glad to have that crop just sitting there because you're so busy harvesting your green beans. You're like, glad there's one crop you don't have to
don't
be
have
harvesting
to harvest right
at
now.
That time. So that works in that type of garden. But it, for me personally, in the greenhouse, I really go for, you know, all the different types of greens, and I love greens. So
yeah, I consider them some of the highest nutrition for mm-hmm. my dollar too,
yeah,
or
yeah.
for the labor.
Right, and fresh greens. I mean, you know, just picked. And you can really tell the difference. I mean, if you do, like I often pick a lot on the day that I'm there,
mm-hmm.
Just because I might not be able to get back there during the week if I'm too busy, and they just last so much longer.
Mm-hmm. When they're real fresh.
Yeah, they're just like the next week they look still totally fresh.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a real benefit. It just seems chock full of good nutrients, and the taste is just so much different. Just like any fresh food, it's always so much better.
Mm, every gardener says that getting it out of your own garden is the best.
That's true.
Now you mentioned opening up the windows. So pollinators are coming in those windows, and insects of different sorts, or are there screens on those windows?
There are screens mm-hmm. on the windows, and then the doors, there's like a hanging screen. So we mm-hmm. open, there's big, huge front doors. We open them up, and they're the screens that are like, you know, the kinds that kind of just hang down. But, you know, they don't keep everything out.
So most of they're helping you with predator control, predator insect control.
Well, we would hope that's the case, but we really don't have that many mm-hmm. pests, so it really hasn't been such a big, and plus when it gets cooler, then the right. pest problems go down anyway. We haven't really, like I said, mm-hmm. the only pest we've really had is the aphids, and they mm-hmm. might just have, you know, be in the soil
mm-hmm.
After a while.
Right. And so tell me about the summertime. The greenhouse is still operating in the summertime?
No, in the summertime. So in May, it starts getting too hot in there. So mm-hmm. we basically finish our harvest. We put, you know, clean up all the beds. Mm-hmm. And in the past, we would actually cover the beds with black plastic and close the greenhouse up. And the idea was to like really heat it up really intensely to kill off any kind of diseases or mm-hmm. any kind of weed seeds that might have like blown in or have come in with people bringing their transplants. And we kind of cooked the soil that way. But this past year, we decided maybe that wasn't a good idea because we were actually killing all the soil, you know, microorganisms in the process as well
mm-hmm.
because if it got too hot. So we decided to experiment and not do that. And the other thing we did this year is we had been growing in these fiberglass feed troughs, and they were raised up on pallets.
Mm-hmm.
So that was kind of nice because it was like at a really comfortable height. You didn't really have to bend over as you're harvesting.
Nice.
But we found that after the soil was in those containers for so long, that there wasn't enough oxygen getting in. I mean, the soil compacted. And when we actually emptied out one of them, there was a lot of green, you know, kind of algae growing
mm-hmm.
in there.
Mm-hmm.
And we thought that maybe it wasn't such a good idea to have it in a container, even though the containers did have drain holes, but they were up off the ground. And so we decided to take all the soil out, get rid of the fiberglass containers, and now the beds are all on the ground. And
mm-hmm.
they're in touch with, the earth. And we just feel like maybe that's a better drainage,
mm-hmm.
better for oxygenation of the soil. And so we're going to see, you know, and actually we did that, an experiment with our market bed
first.
First, and it worked really well. So then we decided to take them all down. And it's actually a lot easier to water the beds that are lower because we're watering with a watering can.
Mm-hmm.
And to lift the watering can over big plants after they've grown high,
right,
you have to have some good upper body strength.
Right. So it's six of one, half dozen
exactly.
of the other.
Yeah.
So all right.
We're gonna try this.
Okay, well, let's take a short little break. We're talking with Carolyn Smith, former homesteader, landscape gardener, and now greenhouse gardener. We're going to have a quick announcement and then be right back with a few gardening calendar announcements.
Seasons of plenty, seasons of change, also abundantly here.
We're back to the garden. Now for our gardening calendar. The High Desert Organic Gardeners, that's High Dog for short, will host their next meeting, George Farmer, who went to a Seed Savers Exchange meeting in Iowa and will share with the High Dog group some possibilities for us to save and share the seeds that grow best here. High Dog meets on the last Tuesday of the month, which means this coming Tuesday, August 27th at 6:30 p.m. The group will have its meeting at the new Volunteer Center's Commons Room at 15th Street and Bennett. And gardeners looking for plant starts will probably be able to find them at one of the farmers markets nearby. The Members Valley Farmers Market is open on Thursdays from 3:30 to 5:30 at the San Lorenzo Senior Center. And the Silver City Farmers Market opens Saturday morning from 8:30 to noon, downtown near the San Vicente Creek off Bullard Street. And at the Silver City Farmers Market this Saturday, August 24th, there will be a special and fun fundraiser for this radio station. And there are many ways to participate. One is to design a flower arrangement of flowers you've grown yourself in a vase you're willing to part with and deliver them to the farmers market by 9 in the morning or between noon and 6 Friday afternoon. The arrangements will be auctioned to the highest bidder. So the second way to participate is to come bid on a flower arrangement and support GMCR. A third way is to vote on your favorite arrangement for just $1 per vote. And the fourth way is to attend a 15-minute mini class on flower arranging, botanical illustration, edible flowers, and more. There'll also be children's activities. Again, this is the first annual Summer Garden Flower Fiesta this Saturday, August 24th, at the Silver City Farmers Market, downtown by the San Vicente Creek off Bullard Street. If you just tuned in, this is Back to the Garden, and we're talking with Carolyn Smith, former homesteader and landscape gardener, now a greenhouse gardener, who says it's the easiest way to garden in the desert. Carolyn, do you want to sum up exactly how it's easier than just puttering in your own garden?
Well, you're working with other people, and they're helping you, and you're also just doing your own garden at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
So, it's a more controlled environment. You know, it's indoors. You're not dealing as much with the elements. You know, you provide the water. And actually, I hadn't mentioned, but most of the water we use is rainwater that we've collect right off the greenhouse roof.
Wonderful.
William has set up these large water-holding tanks. And they fill up, and then he takes the hose and puts the water into large, again, feeding troughs or 55-gallon drums. And it's one of the things that also moderates the temperature in the greenhouse. The water acts as a heat sink. So, and it's what we water with. And we use watering cans to water with. And so we just fill them up. And one of it's easier to do it with a hose, but then you're probably going to be using city water, or you use more water when you use a hose because
it
just keeps
around going.
Whereas with a watering can, you can just water where you want to water with. So I recommend it. Plus, when you're using a watering can, you're paying more attention to the individual plants because you're spending a little bit more time, and you just see what needs to be done, or if there's some problem, or that you need to check out. But it's just a division of labor. For one thing, if you're gardening by yourself, then you have to every day. You're responsible. If you want to go away for 2 weeks. What you have to find someone who's going to take care of your garden for 2 weeks. That's a huge responsibility for anyone,
right,
especially if it's not their garden. Whereas in the instance of the cooperative greenhouse, if you need to go away, someone can substitute for you, and then you can do the same for them.
Right, just for a single day.
But really, it's a controlled environment, and you know, greens are one of the easiest crops to grow and one of the most nutritious. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of the choice of crop that you grow too makes it easy. And
so the greenhouse with the huge tanks of water inside, so the cold isn't going to be quite as cold and the hot's not going to be quite as hot.
And it's a great place to go in the wintertime.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it's, you know, all this green and it's moisture and it's warmer in there. It just makes you feel good just to be in there. You just can't wait to get back into the greenhouse. And, yeah, so I think for all those reasons. And, you know, I love to garden outside as well, and I think it's a nice compliment. If you do like mm-hmm. to garden outside, you grow different crops. You do grow your tomatoes and your peppers and all those summer crops that do grow really well here mm-hmm. in the summertime. It's great to be outside in the summertime and hear the birds. And then, you know, when that season comes to a close, you're kind of you're tired, you know,
right.
You've been doing a lot of work, it takes a lot of, you know, effort, and then you come to the greenhouse and it's much more controlled, and you just water your beds and hang out with the plants and do it once a week, and then you still continue to be harvesting and eating fresh produce. So
right, and only once a week for less than 2 hours.
Yeah.
That sounds really wonderful.
Yeah, that's really great.
Do you have recommendations or suggestions for people who would want to get their own cooperative greenhouse going?
Well, there's the Grant County Extension Service. You can contact them. They have a lot of information on building hoop houses, which are greenhouses that are made with, you know, just pretty inexpensive materials. You can build a 25 by 12 foot greenhouse for like, you know, a couple $1,000s. And if you do it with a bunch of folks, you know, join in and split the costs, and they're fairly easy to put up. In fact, they had a workshop out in San Lorenzo where they mm-hmm. built one of these hoop house greenhouses right next to the elementary school. So if mm-hmm. anybody wants to have a look and see what I'm talking about, you could drive out there and see. So they're fairly easy to construct, but they have videos on how to build them, all the materials, you know, the lists, you know, of exactly, you know, what you would need, where to get the materials. It's a pretty simple way and inexpensive way to have a greenhouse. Because sometimes if you buy a greenhouse kit, that can be $12,000 to $20,000 mm-hmm. or more dollars. But this is something that is more affordable. And if you think about it, then you're able to grow your own food. You're, you know, eventually that's going to pay for itself.
Right. So if seven families wanted to go together on something that costs $2,000, that's mm-hmm. less than $300 per family.
Exactly.
That's a great way.
And, you know, just have to have a little small piece of land to put it on and, mm-hmm. you know, figure out how you're going to, you know, collect your rainwater or just use a hose. That's fine, too. You know, mm-hmm. whatever works for you. And then you're in business. You know, you just you get your soil. You might, you know, have to go and, you know, buy some topsoil to start off with and mm-hmm. add some compost. You know, you build up your garden bed just like you would outside.
Mm-hmm.
And then you can put it in a container, or you could just have your beds raised. You don't even have to actually build a container. You could just mound up the soil like you would in an outdoor mm-hmm. garden. It's, you know, it's up to you.
And there's plenty of free containers, you know, to salvage and
exactly.
scavenge different
yeah.
places.
Yeah. Yeah. And originally the greenhouse started with growing in grow bags, where you just have these plastic bags and you just fill them with soil and you have individual plants.
Mm-hmm.
That's another way to go.
Right.
You know, it's different. You can start off that way, see how it works for you, and then, you know, every
invest
year
more.
Invest a little bit more
mm-hmm.
as you get into it. So.
Right. I've been gardening for 7 years, and the investment mm-hmm. has been real slow. So you start with what you have and mm-hmm. keep on going.
Right. Right. And there's, you know, greenhouses that you can build a certain size, and then you can add another one. I mean, if you don't, you know, you can build in sections and you can keep enlarging it, like this hoop house
mm-hmm.
construction. It's a perfect model for that. You can just keep extending and extending and extending
more
it.
Hoops.
Yeah, I think there's a greenhouse down in Deming that I'm not sure if it's a hoop house greenhouse, but they have used that same model of building, and I think their greenhouses are like acres big. They're
wow.
gigantic greenhouses, and they're growing all kinds of crops down there. Obviously, other people feel like growing in greenhouses is a good way to go.
Uh-huh. So if people were looking around and saying, which of our friends would do this, or how would we get started? Is there some model that we need to be thinking of and how to cooperate to make it successful?
I think basically most of the people, well, actually everyone who is involved in our greenhouse lives fairly close together. So that's a good mile. So it'd be good to have it be in your neighborhood, because that makes it easier for people to get there. It's also good to try to work with people that you know well,
mm-hmm.
people that you have, you know, you can communicate well with. And we have meetings like four times a year. We always have one at the beginning of the year, and we talk about what we're going to do and who, what days people are going to work and how the substituting is going to work. We give everyone our telephone numbers. So in case something comes up, you know, you have people to call and, you know, I'm not going to be able to make it today. Can you cover for me? You just, you know, when do you open? When do you close? You know, just to kind of figure out your plan, and as long and everything's up front. Just good communication whenever you're doing anything with anyone is good, and to have a logbook where you can communicate as things are going, so that sometimes it's hard to get people on the phone or direct But I think having that logbook is really helpful to communicate on a daily basis, and everyone can come in and see what you know other people feel like is going on and what might maybe needs to be addressed. And
right. So when you show up, you read the last 6 days since you were in there the last time.
Yeah, and see what everybody's been saying, and you leave a note if you feel like there's something that needs to be done.
This sounds so valuable. I imagine you must have a waiting list of people wanting to come in if somebody drops out.
We have not had any problems filling empty slots.
Right.
No, it's been really very, very successful, and it's been working really well, and everyone has, you know, done their part, and yes, and it's really not that much to do, so that makes it easy. It's not like, you know, anyone is really burdened.
Sounds like the way to go, and a lot of people have talked about sustainability in Silver City and how to increase it, and it sounds to me like, you know, you've built a wonderful case for greenhouses being the way to go and the thing that we might need to add a lot more of in Silver City. So anything going on to promote this? I guess the Grant County Extension Service, I want to mention them again. That's wonderful that they've got these plans. I guess people just go to the phone book and look for them and ask for the plans. Anything else?
I think you can, they have, you know, a website too that you could go on and get these plans as well.
Okay.
Well, they can, you know, call me.
Carolyn, do you want to give out your phone number?
It's 534-4157, and I'm happy to take people over and give them tours to, you know, see the greenhouse and
That's wonderful.
See what's going on. And, you know, it's visual always is pretty powerful. It's one thing to hear something and be excited about it, but to actually see how it works and to see how simple it is and how it is something that anyone can do.
Yeah. Well, I have noticed that more, and just heard people talking about greenhouses. I think there have been a lot more greenhouses built in the last couple of years in Silver. Is that your experience too?
I think so, because, I mean, it is, I love growing outside, but you do have to deal with the wind and hail and, you know, you deal with the elements, and often, a lot of times people are busy in the summertime. They're traveling, you know, they have plans, and so gardening in the summertime is a little more challenging for a lot of people, but, you know, during the school year or after summer vacation's over, most people are for the most part staying put, and it's indoors, and you really it's you're not having to deal with as many factors. It's a lot easier in that way, because like I said it's a more controlled environment, so you're just basically taking care of the plant. You're, you know, fertilizing them and watering them. So
I love it. Well, I hope to hear about lots more greenhouses going up in Silver City. Our time is up, everybody. So thank you very much, Carolyn Smith, for sharing with us. Listeners, I hope you've learned a few bits of information that'll be useful to you in your gardens. Thanks to Kyle Johnson for handling the studio production, and Greg Renfro for the intro and outro music. And a big thanks to all you gardeners everywhere for keeping these essential life skills alive for all of us. Please tune in next week for another interview with a local gardener sharing his or her expertise. It might be native species, proper pruning, water harvesting, or something else entirely that might spark a new vision for your garden. We'll bring it to you. Until next week, I'm wishing you peaceful, healing moments in your garden. I'm Jean Eisenhower, thanking you for listening to Back to the Garden.
Comes the springtime, plant your seeds, see what you can do to grow your needs. Tend your gardens, touch the earth, thank the stars above for all your worth. Seasons of plenty, seasons of change, also abundantly here.
This is Gila Members Community Radio. Thanks for tuning in. You've been listening to Back to the Garden with Gene Eisenhower. Join us again next Thursday at 4:30 for more conversation on all things green and growing. This is what community radio looks like. This is GMCR.